Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I am Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 4, during this idea of talking about how that we have ceased from sin. Last time we were in chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, talking about how that we're following Christ's example of being willing to suffer in the flesh and having a spiritual focus. And he continues that thought in verse 3, where we're going to be today. Verse 3 says this, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry."
Okay, so in other words, you've already spent a long enough time doing all that. Which goes all the way back to chapter 1 and verse 14. Enough is enough. He told us in chapter 1 and verse 18 it was a futile way to live. But what we have now is so precious, we ought to be willing to put that away and not the ESV has that what the Gentiles want to do. the New American Standard has pursue, what they want to pursue. But the idea is, you know, going on a journey. That's mm-hmm. the path that you've been walking. And he's not talking about necessarily Gentiles, Gentile Christians. He's talking about Gentiles spiritually, just the world around them, the way that they want to live. So what is that path? Well, it's the lusts of men that he talked about in verse 2, but he gives us a list here of several things that would be included in that path.
Yeah, you know, that's supposed to be in the past, but he kind of defines this list of, you know, what that looks like. The first one here he mentions in verse 3 is living in sensuality, or walking in lewdness is what the New King James says. But this idea is just that, we're being in sexual misconduct, I guess, in some rights. But this idea of just living in that kind of lifestyle is not what we're going to be about anymore.
Yeah, and it's not just the actual deed, but, you know, lewdness in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions. It really has to do with the lack of self-constraint, allowing you to abandon your what's acceptable. This word would be like the opposite of purity, satisfying the flesh. So it's not just it is. Sexual in nature, but it's not just the physical act. It's also like, what are you thinking? How are you speaking? You know, not just the actions, but there's some people that maybe aren't committing fornication or adultery, but we would say they have a dirty mind, yeah, or telling dirty jokes, or, you know, making dirty comments. That would all be included in this idea as well.
Yeah. So this idea of just kind of a lack of self-restraint, going beyond what's socially acceptable, and that kind of right in living with sensuality. Passions here is the next one, which kind of just has the idea of doing with lust and you know, pursuing things that maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, lust is what the New American Standard has as well, and passions in the ESV, but it just means, you know, wanting something, longing for something, in particular that's forbidden. The word itself wouldn't necessarily tell us that it was something that was bad. You know, you can desire things that are good, but obviously in this list, that's not what's going on. It's just wanting bad things in your life, you know, whether that be specifically some of the things he's talking about here, or just doing things we're not supposed to be doing in general.
Yeah. Drunkenness is the next one on this list. I think, of course, drunkenness is kind of self-explanatory. Being in a state where you're drunk, you're lost control of you know, your thoughts, your actions, you know, in that regard. The next one.
Literally, it's over full with wine.
Yeah, overfilled with wine. Yeah, there's a literal definition of drunkenness in a real sense, just being overfilled, overconsumed, I guess, with wine. The next one is the ESV says orgies. The New King James says lewdness. Revelries is what the New King James says. NASB has carousing. The idea is just that you're not getting into like excessive partying, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the feast that they would have. It would include maybe even a lot of things that would go on at those kinds of events. Gluttony, sexual immorality, drunkenness. This word, though, was associated in the original language. It was associated with like the feast that maybe would be comparable in our days to like a wild New Year's Eve party or a wild spring break or a wild senior trip, you know, just a party kind of atmosphere in a worldly sinful kind of context.
Yeah, and then one that's similar to that, that's next on the list, is drinking parties. The word literally means a social gathering at which wine was served. So it's kind of a very literal, self-explanatory translation there. Just not being around, you know, that kind of environment with drinking parties and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a unique word, not used in the New Testament, but in biblical literature. Our extra biblical literature, I should say, would refer to somebody that we might call a party animal. It's very, like you said, it's very similar to the previous word, but kind of a synonym to some degree, but maybe more focused on just the actual alcohol consumption to drunkenness rather than all the other things that would go along with it.
Yeah, and then abominable idolatries or lawless idolatries. Throughout Scripture, you see idolatry being addressed, just things that come between you and your relationship with the Lord. That can come in a lot of facets. Maybe that's sexual temptations, maybe that's alcohol, you know, whatever. But idolatries is just kind of this image worship, things that you're placing at a higher priority in your life than God, I think is in a lot of ways where that would come into play there.
Yeah, and in their culture, it would be literal paganism, them worshiping these false gods. But when they worshiped those false gods, there were a lot of other sins that went along with it, similar to these last two that we've talked about. There was fornication with the temple priestesses, they would call them, prostitutes, we would call them. There was drinking, there was, you know, excessive eating, there was all those sorts of things. It was it was not just the paganism, but it was all the other things that went along with it. And even though it was from a religious context, so to speak, it again contained a lot of the things that were involved in the last two categories that we talked.
I think one of the big things to bring out here in verse 3, it's good to define words, but I also don't want to get just lost in the weeds the whole time, is just the idea that it's not like the Bible or Peter or, you know, the Lord is blind to your past. You know, it's not like the Lord's didn't know what was going on or doesn't know what is a temptation. But he's looking at this and saying, you know, that's all in the past. So let's keep it in the past. And especially with this theme of Christ has suffered in the flesh, we ought to be willing to suffer in the flesh and guard ourselves, arm ourselves with that same way of thinking. Well, that same way of thinking comes into play with a lot of the things described in verse 3. Is, are we willing to get rid of those things and allow these ideas to stay in the past and keep pursuing what is good, what is holy, and what is acceptable to the Lord? Keep having that spiritual focus. Or are we going to abandon those things just for all the things he's describing here? And I think that's, you know, one of the big themes here as he rolls through this list here of things. We hope that this has been a good study for you, something we said today will inspire you to dive into God's Word deeper. We hope that you would like and share it, subscribe to it, and tell others about Scripture Spotlight so that we can dive into God's Word 5 to 10 minutes a day and explore what God has to say for us in our lives. We'll see you next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.